Welcome back to A Bunch of Bums. It is now been a week that you can legally sports bet in Maine. We had a fun weekend. Hopefully, if you live in Maine, you won some money. Jason didn't.
Brandon. I did. Brandon had a fun weekend.
I won a little bit. It wasn't bad. Nick, do you win any money?
Yeah, so I'm up big.
He's up $20 on the
110, 114. And then I had like five free bets I just used for this weekend.
Yeah, the good news is I didn't lose money betting on football.
I mean, that's best case scenario. You know what I mean? If you bet your money away, you win it back at least.
Well, best case scenario, I would have just hit on everything.
I mean, but yeah.
Worst case scenario is what happened. I didn't lose anything because it was all free money. And right. I still have $75 going into this weekend free. That right. I actually need to put bets in today because they expire today. So that's a good friendly reminder.
That's why I used them all last week. And part of the reason why I actually won money, because only two bets hit out of
like the... Well, maybe mine too are coming this weekend then.
Exactly. We're about to go into week 10. Technically, week 10 just started with the Bears-Panthers that I don't think anybody watched this weekend.
I did win money off that game. You...
I lost
such a
money
shit
on that
game to win money on, dude. Like, well, that I purposefully didn't make a bet on that game because I didn't want to have to watch it.
I didn't watch it. I logged into DraftKings to see what the lines looked like. The Panthers had just scored a touchdown to take the lead, and all of a sudden the Bears money line went into the positives, and I was like, I'm smashing that. So I took it and the Bears won the game.
That's smart, actually. It's a pretty good move. So today we're just going to, between this week and next week, we're going to go through all the NFL teams, and just for fun, just because we're kind of in a weird spot in the season where we're in or getting into the latter half of the season, but it's still too early to talk about like playoffs or fantasy playoffs or anything like that. And now we're also kind of past like mid-season awards kind of thing. So we're going to go through every NFL team, and we are going to share who we think is the quote-unquote MVP of that team up to this point, and obviously assuming that they will continue to do that going forward, and what that looks like for the team for the rest of this year and their future.
It is also possible that something super crazy happens in the NFL this week, and then we just don't talk about the NFC next week, but... Just bank on us talking about
I mean, if something crazy happens, like, sure. But I mean,
it's our show. We can do what we want.
Yeah. Something crazy like the Patriots losing in Germany. Bill Belichick gets fired on the way home.
This is the first time that I can sleep in past 9 o'clock because I don't give a shit about that game.
Yeah, neither do I.
I'm going to watch it. I got to play football.
True. Yeah, we're going to be playing football during that.
We are.
We never start right at 10. We start a little bit later, so I'll be at like the game watching.
For the first quarter.
Start. Yeah,
the Lions maybe. Will be, or the Patriots will be down 14-0.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a beautiful thing about watching the Patriots. As a Patriots fans nowadays, you can get the loss out of the way. You can still watch the game and have the rest of the...
Just have the game on your phone on the bench so that when you take your inhaler breaks in between plays...
If I don't get any passes tomorrow, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, I'm covering you, so you're not getting shit.
Oh, I'm going for 100 yards, so here we go.
In a backyard football game.
Listen, you might get a couple catches, but I swear to Christ, you're going to average less than 8 yards a carry. 8 yards a catch.
Put money on it right now. No yards after catch. You're going down.
You're getting no yards after catch.
I'm going at least 10 yards yak. Is this flag football?
10 yards yak.
Is this flag?
He's yakking me.
It's touch. Two-handed.
You're yakking me. I've got like 50 pounds on you, dude.
I'm going to do some jet sweeps and shit, and you're going to be lost.
Jet sweeps? You'd be faster on jet sweeps if you were in a wheelchair. Come on now.
All right, let's get into the MVPs. We're going to cap it at
Nick
3
Sieber,
minutes.
Here we go. MVP tomorrow morning.
At 3 minutes per team, just for time's sake, because if not, then when we get to the Patriots, we're going to talk for 40 minutes. Not by choice.
Hey.
Yeah.
All right, what division you want to start with first?
Let's just go ahead and start with the East and get the Patriots out of the way.
Okay, let's do the easy teams first. Dolphins, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think he's in the running top two for offensive player of the year.
Bills.
It's Josh Allen.
Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs hasn't been
nope
that great.
He's been consistent. He's easily the best skilled guy.
He's the most valuable.
They're not the same offense without him. No, dude. Allen is their pass and their run game since he's been in the league. Six.
Has he thrown a single pick six this year?
He's a gunslinger, dude. Look at Brett Favre.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, look at Jameis Winston.
What I'm saying is Jameis Winston a lot actually
was
year.
The Bucs' most valuable player that year. Yeah, year that he had 30 picks. That's the funniest
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
All right, Jets. To me, I'm torn between Breece Hall and Sauce Gardner. Like, it could be either one of them.
I'm picking Aaron Rodgers on the sideline.
I'll tell you who it's not, and that's Zach Wilson or Aaron Rodgers.
It's Aaron Rodgers with a headset on the sideline right in Zach Wilson's ear going, don't throw a pick, don't throw a pick, don't throw a pick.
I would love to hear those conversations. Come on, kid, don't screw this one up. This is easy. Throw it to the drag route. And then it's like, Zach Wilson drops back. The drag route is wide open. He pump fakes. He looks to the guy with the streak. He throws an interception. That's literally what happens. I think it's Sauce Gardner. I think the defense has held them into games many times this year, and Sauce Gardner is a big factor why.
Yeah, I'll give it to Sauce. I do want to give some recognition to Quinnen Williams.
He's
a very good D tackle right now. Very good, very young. He was, I think, top three for defensive player of the year last year. It doesn't seem like he's doing quite as good as he was last year. He doesn't have he has half a sack, a fumble return, and a pick. I don't know how that happened, but apparently he has a pick. He's got quite a few tackles. He's got a couple games where he only had one, but he's still very disruptive up front. I'll give it to Sauce.
Okay, Patriots.
I'm going with DeMario Douglas.
Has he been good since the last 2 weeks? Before the last 2 weeks?
Who?
Every time that they give him a chance, they throw his way. He makes guys miss. He gets the offense a spark. And so, yeah, the MVP kind of still sucks because they're on the Patriots for the Patriots MVP. But DeMario Douglas is the most valuable offensive player. And I think if injuries weren't a thing, it would have easily been Christian Gonzalez this year.
That's true. Yeah, it's hard for the Patriots because they haven't really had much,
it's definitely
much
not,
success.
It's definitely not Juju Smith-Schuster, I can tell you that.
I almost want to say Mac Jones just because he's been tanking for them so well and giving them a spot at making a good pick next year.
Most teams, when they want to tank, right, they take out the starting quarterback and put in the backup, right?
Well, Mac Jones
the
is
Patriots
the backup,
right? Don't even need to do that. They can just keep in the starting quarterback. You go, kid. Have fun. Yeah. Oh, great decision throwing it across field, you know, on the run. Nice job. Oh, pick six. Caleb's going to love that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Judon's been hurt. J.C. Jackson has only been back for a few weeks.
And he suspended this game, too. So
I mean, if Christian Gonzalez hadn't gotten injured, I will put my money on Christian Gonzalez being the best player on that team right now.
Well, you saw in the first 3 weeks.
He did really well. He had a sack. I believe he had a pick at least.
Yeah.
I mean, he was playing really well, but we can't play what ifs. Judon's been out. Kyle Duggar has a pick in the last two games. I think he had a pick six last week. And he's gotten quite a few tackles. He's been the best ability is availability right now. Kyle Duggar's a good safety. I'll probably give it to him. It's for the Patriots and Bill Belichick, it's usually defensive backs that he does really well with developing and scouting. So I'll give it to Duggar.
I'm going to probably pick either Hunter Henry or Kendrick Bourne. Hunter Henry hasn't had that many great games, but
Kendrick Bourne's injured.
Okay, that doesn't mean that he can't be the MVP of the team so far. He's only missed one game. But leading up to that, he has had three games with over 9 targets. And then he also has 4 touchdowns and has been very dynamic and similar to what Nick was saying with DeMario Douglas in the limited times that he's received the ball and he's been on the field, he's produced with it. And he's shown that he can be really good. So even though he is hurt right now, I think that I would say Kendrick Bourne. But also, I'll admit, I haven't really been watching that many Patriots games.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I'm going with the best overall player. Mac Jones has only thrown 10 touchdowns this year and 9 picks. 3 of them were to Hunter Henry and 4 were to Kendrick Bourne. He's had one more good game, I'd say, than Hunter Henry, and has been a little bit more consistent on a game-to-game basis. So offensively, I'd probably also give it to Bourne. By the end of the year, might be Ramondre.
Yeah, we'll see if he can turn it around, because he looked bad the first month. All right, next division. Going west, north, or south next?
Go north. It's right on the next one on the list.
What list are you looking at? NFLshop.com. No, it's official, guys. That's the next one.
That's the NFL website.
NFL website. It just says click here for the shop.
Oh, okay. Sorry, that's the first thing I saw. Sure, let's go. I was going to say west. Let's go north. That's fine. Okay, let's go Steelers. TJ Watt. It's not close. It's not close. TJ Watt is their best player.
True.
Nah, I think it's Kenny Pickett or Najee. I'm joking.
It's not Najee, that's for sure.
No.
No.
All right, so then the Ravens, another low-hanging easy one, Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Nobody on his offense has done anything in the receiving game except for Mark Andrews, and even he hasn't looked great. But Lamar still found a way to not only win games, but drive the team down the field and dominate really, really good teams, especially in the NFC. And a lot of that's been from a lot of touchdowns on the ground from their running backs, but they're not getting down there to score touchdowns with their running backs without Lamar making plays on his feet and through the air.
I don't know what player has made the most impact on their defense, because their defense as a whole at this point I think is the best in the league, but they're playing really well altogether. I don't know if there's one that's standing out over everybody else, but as far as most valuable player and who would have a higher chance of winning it by the end of the year, I think Lamar probably makes the biggest impact, whereas if somebody gets hurt on the Ravens defense, are probably still going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give it to Lamar.
What, you don't think Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley can get it done?
Not like Lamar.
Well, he was a Pro Bowler last year.
Good for him. He's not Lamar. He's not an MVP.
I still can't believe that. All right, Nick, any disagreements, or you think Lamar?
I think Lamar too.
Cool. Browns. I want to say Myles Garrett. Could be somebody in their secondary.
No, it's Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Defensive player of the year right there.
He could be.
And then Bengals. This one's the hardest one for me.
Dude, this is hard, and you might not even expect where I'm going to go with this one.
You go first then.
So
it's going to be a defensive player.
It's Burrow. I have to give it to Burrow.
Oh, well,
okay, so it's Burrow.
That's what I was going to say too.
Burrow too. Okay.
But Trey Hendrickson has two forced fumbles, 1, 2, 3, 3.5, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, he's got almost, Trey Hendrickson has almost 10 sacks this year. He has like two games without a sack, which is crazy. He'd be very close. I almost said him just to be against the grain, but it's Joe Burrow.
It's Burrow just because they sucked when he couldn't move, and now that he's healthy, they're one of the best teams in the NFL, just like they have been the last two seasons. So without Burrow, they are the 1-win team, 3-win team, 5-win team that they were before Burrow was drafted. All right, next division.
West.
Remind me which teams are in that division.
Chiefs. We'll start with them.
Mahomes, I think.
Taylor Swift.
This is a... That's a good one.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like Mahomes is the best player on that team.
Yeah, this is the first time where I think it's been, and I can't even say it's in doubt, because it's really not, because the rest of their team has also sucked. But yeah, like, this is the first time where it feels like Mahomes isn't by far the best player in the league, let alone on his team.
Here's the thing: they're 7-2, which surprises me because of how pedestrian their team is. Last year, it was a bunch of highlight videos of Mahomes doing some ridiculous play. And then this year, it's like he's just like an average quarterback. Well, he's not.
He's still making the same plays. His receivers just can't catch.
Well, it's less often because they are running a lot more, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Taylor Swift that's stealing some of the limelight.
Yeah, even Travis Kelce hasn't been Travis Kelce-esque for a lot of this year. He's still the tight end one in fantasy, but I don't think
that says
as much about him as it does about the tight end position.
Time that Taylor Swift's at attendance of the game, he averages over 100 yards a game.
But like the same way it happens every year, though, the Chiefs' defense looks mediocre, But then later in the year, come December and into the playoffs, they play really well situationally. Yeah, I think, and everyone is saying this is the best defense that Mahomes has had yet. I think it's going to show in the postseason.
Yep. Okay. I think Mahomes is also going to show in the postseason.
For sure.
He's going to do the Patrick Mahomes game management. I'm going to lead an 8-minute touchdown drive when I need to. Kind of stuff like that. He's not going to go out there and show out and try and be a show off. He's just going to get it done. Chargers. It might be Keenan Allen, Justin Herbert, one of those two. Maybe Joey Bosa.
I was going to go Herbert just for the sake that he's the quarterback. He's in charge of that whole offense. I think he's been consistent, which allowed Keenan Allen to kind of show off.
Yeah, because the reason it's a tear between those two for me is because Herbert has single-handedly lost them 2 games this season where he's just thrown bad interceptions on game-winning potential drives. And part of that's, you know, bad play calling, Brandon Staley putting them into bad positions late in games. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those two. For me, their offense has been really good. Their defense has not been very good for a lot of the season. It's gotten better as it's gone on, but to start the year and to put them into the hole that they were in, it was their defense that did it. It wasn't Herbert and wasn't the offense.
Well, you got to look, too. There hasn't been much of a run game there either. Only week one did Eckler have over 3.5 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. Since then, he's had less than that. 2 games, he had less than 2 yards a carry. So I give it to Herbert on the sole fact that I think they win because of him, because that defense isn't doing anything, and the run game is not really there either, and Allen wouldn't have as much production as he has without Herbert, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that. All right, then...
Broncos. I think Pat Surtain is the best player.
Yeah, but... I mean, he has to be the MVP, I think.
Yeah. It's
not anyone on the offense.
Sure as hell isn't. Nope. So, I mean, the offense doesn't really do anything. Justin Simmons, possibly.
Yeah, he's been really good this year.
For some reason, he always picks Mahomes off. He easily has the most. He has picked off Mahomes the most of any player. They're in the same division, so that helps.
It's like Kirby Joseph with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
except Kirby Joseph has only been playing for 1 season. Nick, any disagreements between those two defensive backs, Justin Simmons and Pat Surtain? What about the Raiders?
Max Crosby.
Yeah.
It's Max.
Agreed.
He is dominating right now. But, like, Adams hasn't done shit, but that's because the team has been dysfunctional with Josh McDaniels, and the offense has just been bad as a whole. Josh Jacobs is not doing as well as he was last year.
Going last week once Josh McDaniels is gone.
You know what I think is the real MVP of that team? The owner for firing both McDaniels and Ziegler.
Yeah, well, the owner should have been fired last year when he hired them to begin with.
Yep.
I guess you can't really fire an owner.
No, I was going to say, how would that work?
The Ford should have been fired 30 years ago when they started running the Lions into the ground. Then they finally gave up the team to Sheila Ford, and now the Lions are actually good.
Yep.
All right, well, then what's the last division?
The South.
And who's in that one again?
The Colts. We'll start with them.
Oh, boy. Colts. I guess it'd probably be their O-line, as a whole.
It's Zach Moss.
Well, even Jonathan Taylor has been really good, and Zach Moss is starting to take a back seat. So that's why I'm saying their offensive line, because both running backs have been really, really good.
Their offensive line and run game is as good as it is because they have the best guard in football, Quentin Nelson. And I'm giving it to him specifically.
Quentin Nelson.
Texans, obviously Damian Pierce, the best running back in football.
Dude, don't get me started. He's done nothing for me all year. And it's because CJ Stroud is the best rookie quarterback in NFL history.
At the beginning of the season, Brandon, we were legitimately fighting over Damian Pierce in the draft. And you just happened to be the unfortunate one to draft him.
Yeah, I took in the first.
But to be fair, I drafted DK Metcalf over him, and DK Metcalf is just as bad.
So. It's crazy how every scout wanted to call CJ Stroud dumb because he didn't do good on the S2. Or
why do you keep bringing that back up? That literally means nothing.
Because he literally brought it up this week. He literally brought it up this week in his press conference about how he feels like GM shouldn't take those performance tests to heart because he got the worst. He got like what 13%.
Well, they won't now.
Yeah, he said stuck it to him.
Well, he said those shouldn't be a thing anymore because he got 13%. And look at him now. So he literally brought it up this week.
I think even Will Levis was the second lowest score of any quarterback in this draft. And he looks really, really good.
I know.
Through two games.
Like, here's the thing that ticks me off. Who cares if your quarterback is smart? Like, street smart. I don't care. I'm not paying him to give a lecture to the rest of the team about, you know, physics. If he can play football, he knows the defenses, and he can execute, that's what matters. And that's what C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud's not going to win a Nobel Peace Prize.
It goes back to what I said, I think, the first episode you came back. It's more emotional intelligence than, like, right. just straight up, like IQ. Like, IQ is, and IQ tests are starting to be pushed back because... I'll bring it back to football, at least when it comes to what I mean by emotional intelligence is, do you have leadership skills, communication skills? Are you motivated? Do you have a good work ethic? Do you have, are you mature is what
I'm trying
to say.
It brings me back to the movie Draft Day when they asked Bo Callahan, hey, who went to your birthday party?
So also keep in mind that wonder or not the Wonderlic test, the Wonderlic test is actually... actual intelligence, yeah. I'm pretty sure. But the I2 test or whatever it is, it's not regular intelligence, it's cognitive intelligence, which is like attention span, the ability to learn in general and memory and judgment and reasoning and being able to basically read a defense without actually putting how to read a defense on the test. So it's not like they're giving him math questions and having him figure it out. It's cognitive intelligence. And if you fail that test, then it doesn't show that you're stupid. It shows that you lack the ability to make decisions under pressure and basically do all the things that quarterbacks need to do. So the reason that GMs are looking so hard into that is because like that is one of the most important tests that a quarterback needs to be able to pass. But it also just could be that he's not good at taking tests. So one paper test or whatever it is shouldn't decide whether or not a player's good.
Same thing with the combine.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it's good or bad. If you have a great combine, if you had a bad combine,
it doesn't... Like Tyquan Thornton.
Yeah, exactly.
John Ross. Same thing. But Anthony Richardson seems to pan out.
So CJ Stroud then is the MVP for...
Yeah. Jaguars.
Travis Etienne, not close.
I think it's, yeah, dude, Etienne looks really good. And I think I either had him, yeah, I think I had him in fantasy since his rookie year, except this year, and this is the year he finally pops off.
Yeah, and then you traded him to me midseason. Actually, this is the first year since we've started playing fantasy that the two of us haven't made a trade yet this year.
It is.
That's because both of our teams are actually good.
Yeah, it's because both our teams are good.
Yeah, you had him, you traded him to me. I traded him back to you.
And then I traded him to Justin.
And then you traded him to Justin, and now Justin has the second best running back in fantasy as a keeper.
Which is nuts. Can't believe he was right on that, but good for him.
And he kept Lamar, who you also gave him. And he gave you Mahomes.
I have a better team, but he actually won that trade, technically.
Okay, and then last team is the Titans.
Derrick Henry.
I think I have to give it to him just...
Will Levis.
By default, but yeah, like
I think
part of me wants to just say Will Levis because the team looked awful until he was starting, but he hasn't played long enough for me to be able to be like
it's Will Levis,
the savior of the franchise.
It's Will Levis.
But Derrick Henry's been bad this year. He has not been good.
No, it's Will Levis.
Until these past 3 or 4 weeks, he sucked. He was averaging like 2 yards a carry at some point.
So the Titans look
right,
like
but he still has He's had a 122-yard game, a 97-yard game, a 101-yard game, a 75-yard game, an 80-yard game. He had two games. Sorry, oh wait, no, sorry, 43. So he's had three games under 75 yards, which is not great, but I mean,
what is his yards per carry? Because anybody can hit 100 yards if you're getting 30 carries a game.
He's so in his three worst games, yards per carry were 3.2, 1.8, and 3.3. All of his other games, he's been well over 4 yards a carry. Okay.
Then, yeah, I'll say Derrick Henry. But there is a chance that by the end of the season, it's Will Levis. Because if Will Levis continues to play like he has the last 2 weeks, he could be the franchise quarterback for the Titans. And he's going to be what brings them out of the rut that they were in last year and that they're starting to go into again this year.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for AFC. And we're only 26 minutes in. So if we want to start speeding through some NFC stuff, then I guess we can do that to get it out of the way. Otherwise, this is going to be a really short episode. But we got to go quick because I'm only at 5% battery on my computer.
So. Okay. Let's, if you want to save for the NFC for next week, I have a segment we could do.
Cool.
All right. Shoot. So pitch it.
The segment is this. Okay. What teams do you think this week is the most important for? Like, this is the defining game. It could be either good or bad.
That is
so. Yeah, who's got the most pressure this week?
Who's got the best? The most pressure.
The games.
Well, what teams? What players?
We'll call this the last thing that we'll do, and then we'll sign off.
Yeah.
So let me look at the games and see who we have. There's a couple that jump out to me immediately. Nick, do you already have one off the top of your head?
I do.
Okay, then you just go ahead and talk about it. So, Brandon, figure it out.
Who I think has the most pressure, what team, is the Patriots. Not because they're trying to go for a playoff spot. I feel like this week is the game that will let us know what direction they're going into. So they have the bye next week. And so there's a lot of reports saying that if they're going to move off from Mac Jones or from Bill Belichick, this will be after this game because they have a whole bye week to get ready. 2 weeks. They have almost 2 weeks to get ready, get the changes ready. So I think Mac Jones has the most pressure because if he plays bad, it couldn't even be picks. Let's say he doesn't throw a pick, but also he doesn't score and they don't have a lot of first downs and he looks eh, right? I think he's out and I think Bill Belichick gets fired. If they lose.
I don't think he'll get fired this season, but this could be his
last year.
He won't get fired midseason.
Right, that's what I believe, too. I believe no matter what happens, Robert Kraft is too much respect, no matter what.
Isn't he also really close to the lead in all-time wins?
No.
Belichick?
He's still 2 years away.
Well, 2 years if you win 3 games or 2 years with, like, a winning record?
With a winning record.
Okay, so he's a while away, then. I think I'm going to say the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, thank God. That's not my game. Good.
So the Cleveland Browns play against the Baltimore Ravens this week. They're a game and a half back on the division. If they lose, they go to 5-4, and they give the Bengals a chance to catch them for second place. If they win, the Ravens drop to 7-3, and they're half a game back for the lead. So they are not out of the division race yet. I think they still play the Ravens again this season. I could be wrong on that. Let me pull up their schedule. And this is just, again, me brushing through it really, really fast and looking at it fairly quickly. Actually, they don't play the Ravens again. So they already played the Ravens once, and the Ravens beat them. This is the Cardinals. How do I switch to a different team? I don't know why I just assumed that clicking on teams on the NFL app was going to show me the team that I wanted. Now the Browns schedule. They do not play the Ravens. They already played the Ravens in week 4. They lost 28-3. So this is a huge game for them because, again, they already lost the tiebreaker to the Ravens if they were to lose this week because they lost to them in week 4. So if they lose this week, they're basically out of the division race. They have to pretty much win out, and the Ravens have to fall off a cliff. So for them to be able to win this game, go back a half a game, and have a chance to win it and continue to be above the Bengals in the race, or tied with the Bengals in the race, is going to be huge.
My game is the 49ers-Jaguars. So
I was also looking at that.
Both of these are really good teams, but I think each team has just as much pressure for different reasons. The 49ers have been without Debo. They get him back. They just traded for Chase Young. So they've really gone all in on, you know, trying to give themselves a push because they're still in that Super Bowl window they've been in the last couple of years. Is Brock Purdy the answer? We don't know. Through the first 5 weeks or over a month of the season, he didn't have one pick, and now he has 5 picks in the last 3 games. And the Jags are actually leading the league in takeaways. So this is a big game for the 49ers, where if they lose, where the Seahawks are favored to win against the Commanders, the Niners would go 5-4, and Seattle would have a game on them, so they would be division leaders after this week.
Yeah, the 49ers also play first, so the Seahawks would be able to know what the outcome of that game is and know what's on the line as well going into it. And, it's not, you know, a Week 18 game where it's deciding who gets into the playoffs, but... yeah, that is definitely a huge game for
now. For the Jaguars, they've been sneaky good so far this season, and they're in the running for the number one seed. And if they want to get that seed to get a bye, going into the postseason, they have to win this game. They're coming off a bye, okay, which is that's a great, really the perfect time to play Shanahan and the 49ers is off a bye, healthy, in an extra week to prepare for
them. The 49ers are also off a bye, so
Shanahan's makes it pretty
had just as much time to prep for the Jaguars.
But nonetheless, gave them more time to prepare and to get healthy. They're at home. Jaguars are at home. But if they win this game, it not only gives them a chance to get the number one seed, but I think it also proves, like, after this week, if they beat the Niners, people will be talking about them and they will officially be in the conversation among the general, like, NFL community to be one of the better teams in the AFC. Like, I think will put them on the map or put them in the conversation for being one of the best teams in the AFC, and people will take them seriously as a possible number one seed. The last thing I was going to say is if they lose to San Fran, they'll probably come back and win against Tennessee, but after that, they play Houston, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Baltimore. Like, that 3-week stretch of Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore is... like, awful. Like, that is a bad stretch, and two of them are home, but still. Those are one really hot team, but all three of them I would consider to be top 6-7 defenses. So if they don't win against San Fran, going into, like, week 16, they could have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They could have, like, a 1-5 record after their bye.
Yeah. I was going to say, actually, as my honorable mention team, I would pick Detroit for pretty much the same reason that you said for the 49ers. It's not as crucial for them because it's not a division race thing, but the Eagles are 8-1 going into their bye. The Lions are in second place in the NFC with 6 wins and only 2 losses. So if they win this week, they're a game behind the Eagles. I talked a couple weeks about how the Eagles stretch over the next few weeks is very, very tough after their bye. They play, I think, the Bills at one point. They play, I think, the Chiefs at one point. They play the Dolphins. They play the Cowboys again. They play the 49ers. Like, they play a lot of really, really good teams. If the Lions can be within one game of them and have basically the easiest stretch of the season for them after that, after coming off a bye, they have a chance to get the number one seed in the NFC, but they have to win this game this week to be able to still have that chance.
All right.
Cool. All right. Well, then I think that's it. This is probably the shortest episode we've recorded in a long time.
That was fun. That was a good idea, Nick, off the fly.
Thanks. Yeah. And then so next week we'll be doing NFC teams. We might be able to go a little bit more in depth. This was kind of an impromptu idea that happened really like 30 minutes before the episode started, so we didn't really have as much time to look into it and plan it. But next week for NFC teams, we'll go a little bit more in detail. Might have a little bit longer to talk about each team. But that's it for this week. Hopefully you are in a good place for your fantasy playoffs now that we're in the final 3 or 4 weeks of the regular season. Bunch of bumps signing off.